Here on this Sunday morning, as we've gathered together to have water baptism here, four individuals have come and indicated their desire to signify and demonstrate their faith in the Lord Jesus through water baptism. We'd like to take a few minutes and look at God's Word together, a little bit more teaching of what's happening here this morning. So, if you will take your Bibles, Harold has already read the story of the baptism of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. I would like to look at a few thoughts from Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, again, of people making this important decision to demonstrate their faith through baptism. So, Father God, as we look at this scripture this morning, we invite you to, Lord, lead us and direct us. We want to hear your voice, your truth through this scripture. God, each one of us here this morning, that God, we can continue to grow in your grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus and of our walk with you, Lord. Amen. So Acts chapter 18. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they, the Jews likely, opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clean, for now I will go to the Gentiles." And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Down to verse 11 it says, "And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them." As I look at this story here, I recognize that there was something, a contrast here, that caught my attention. For when Paul went into the synagogue every Sabbath, persuading both Jews and Greeks, he compelled them by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But most of the Jews in that synagogue, or at least many of them, rejected Paul's teaching. For verse 6 it says, "And then they opposed him and blasphemed." I can only assume that in this opposition of what Paul was trying to teach them and encourage them and help them to understand that Jesus is the Christ, in rejecting that, they were, of course, rejecting the message of God's love and mercy through Christ. But in blaspheming, they likely blasphemed the name of Jesus. That's who they were most opposed to. And so they blasphemed Christ. But Paul did not give up. He continued to preach and teach and moved next door to the synagogue to the home of a certain man named Justus. The contrast that I find is most interesting here, though, is that Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord. The ruler of the synagogue, the same group who were hearing Paul teach, of which most of them rejected Paul's teaching about the Christ, Crispus accepted it. He came out of that synagogue group. He accepted what Paul was saying. What could have been different? I'm sure he heard exactly the same words Paul was saying, but he heard it different in his spirit. And we have insight into this because about 6 years after this event, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul documents his approach to when he came into Corinth and taught. So I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye is not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man those things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man who is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We find that in Luke's account of this story in Corinth, it says that many Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Many Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. But how did they hear? They did not hear as natural men do. For if we hear the message of the gospel, of God Almighty coming to this earth as a babe in a manger, walking in humility and humbling himself before the Lord God and being killed, crucified on the cross, to the natural man, that is the most absurd way to try to change a culture, a civilization, and a people. It is foolishness to us. But the Spirit of God would want to say to us, this is the plan of God from the foundation of the world. And that it is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that our sins are forgiven. And that we are given a new nature in Christ. It is the Spirit of God who teaches us and shows us the truth of God's word. And so hearing by the Spirit of God, they believed. Apostle Paul here in this passage in Corinthians said that they did not believe because Paul was impressive in his teaching, because he used a great vocabulary and impressive words. No, they believed because their faith was not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The power to transform a life. The power to change us from being children of God's wrath, deserving his punishment, to instead being sons and daughters of the Lord, who know that our sins are forgiven, that we have purpose and life in Christ, and that we have eternal life ahead of us. This is faith in the message and the transformation of God's power at work in us. So Paul was very clear here. I didn't come trying to persuade you with my words. I came with the expectation that the Holy Spirit is going to change your life. And I'm excited this morning that the four individuals who have come and asked to be baptized are come because they are experiencing God at work in their hearts. No one has tried to convince people that they needed to be baptized. They willingly want to give recognition in the waters of baptism that God is doing something in their lives. We'll hear each one of them share a brief testimony of their walk with the Lord, but we are celebrating that God is at work. And so in Corinth, hearing and believing, they were baptized. Baptism, as we practice it and understand it here, is a step of obedience as an adult, as one who knows the choice they're making, or at least an older teen who knows the choice that they're making to give testimony to the Lord. We do not practice infant baptism here, for we believe the scriptures are clear that baptism is an act by a person who knows what they have done and the choices they have made. It is symbolic. It demonstrates in the waters of baptism a story of Christ's acts for us. Jesus Christ came for us, and he who knew no sin became sin for us. Jesus Christ humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. As I've said in past times, we look at the cross, it's empty. But we know this cross symbolizes the cruel cross upon which our Savior was crucified some 2,000 years ago. We do not reenact a crucifixion to identify with what Jesus has done. Instead, in the waters of baptism, we demonstrate alive to death, coming back to life again. That we, as human beings who have received Christ as our Savior, we are buried with him in baptism, as Christ was crucified on the cross and buried in the grave, but we raise out of the water as Christ was raised back to life again. We are demonstrating our faith in the Lord, alive, buried, but then alive again in Christ Jesus. So the symbol of water baptism does not save us. We are saved through Jesus' death on the cross by believing that. His blood washes us from our sin. But this is an act to demonstrate we hear by the Spirit, we believe, and we are demonstrating it by being baptized in water. So here this morning, we are celebrating what God is doing in people's lives. But I want to just take this a little bit further today. For I believe that we are in a time in our culture and in our world right now where the testimony of what we believe about the Lord Jesus and the work that he's done in our lives needs to become clearer and stronger and more defined. This morning, the four individuals who are going to be baptized are going to share their testimony. They're going to come into the baptismal tank here and be baptized. But in a few moments after that, once we're finished, everybody will get dried off and get some clean clothes on, and life carries on. Many of you here this morning have been baptized. You have experienced this work in people's in your life long time ago. But I'll tell you this, the reality of living a crucified life through the life of Christ does not end after you get dry clothes on. It must continue day after day. And this is where I sense we, as people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and the prophetic scriptures of what's coming on our world, need to be unashamed and unafraid to speak of the realities of the Lord Jesus. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul brings out another interesting illustration. Though it's not directly picturing baptism, I believe it is the ongoing effect of how we live our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. The love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. If Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world, we, by faith, appropriate that sacrifice on the cross for us. And we then die with Christ by faith that our old man is crucified with him. Verse 15, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. This is the life of someone who has been baptized, who has made the choice to hear, believe, and be baptized. We continue on in life that we should no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for us and rose again. That's the ongoing responsibility, opportunity, and challenge before us today. But in order to no longer live for ourselves, we must die to ourselves. As I've said here before, we could make sure that every one of these four baptismal candidates would die to themselves. All we got to do is hold you under the water long enough. But that's not the point, is it? The point is that we are going to live unto the Lord after we have said, I'm not going to serve myself. I'm going to live for Christ's honor and for Christ's glory. So today, we want to celebrate that work in people's lives. By no means is every individual being baptized here or any one of us come to a full maturity in Christ. This is an ongoing walk. But baptism is one of the ways we demonstrate clearly with a testimony of God's work in our lives. You here this morning who have been baptized, I hope that your love for the Lord continues to grow stronger and stronger, your willingness to obey him and trust him grows deeper, and that just like a marriage vow that's said here on this platform that only takes a few moments but a lifetime to live, so may a decision through baptism be a commitment you make to the Lord that is lived out the rest of your lives. So here at the Gospel Chapel, our journey or our practice in water baptism is we're going to ask each one of the candidates to come. They're going to come and share a brief testimony of God at work in their lives, and it will vary. Each one's story is different. Two of our candidates are young people, so they're just beginning their life journey. But then we've also asked that a family member or someone who knows them and loves them will come and share a scripture, a blessing, and encouragement to them and pray that over them before we have the actual water baptism. So I am going to first begin with Tom Giesbrick. Tom began arriving here, he and his wife Lexi, some months ago. And we've gotten to know Tom, and I know God's at work in your life, Tom. So you get to break ground here. Gerald's going to come and share a blessing over Tom. So why don't both of you guys come up here right now? And Lexi, good, we're glad that you're here too, yeah. So does everybody know who Tom and Lexi are? Both of you stand up, okay, if you haven't made that connection yet. Okay, and they have a little son as well? Yeah?
Yes.
Come ahead, Tom.
Good morning. I just want to welcome and thank everyone for coming. It truly means a lot to have people out here who took the time to come and witness my baptism today. I grew up in a Christian family and was raised going to church every Sunday. My parents did an amazing job of loving me and raising me into who I am today. But as I got older, I started surrounding myself with people where believing in Jesus wasn't a priority, and eventually I followed that path. I walked away from him and chose to live life on my own, doing what I wanted instead of what would glorify Jesus. For a few years, I didn't want anything to do with Jesus and even felt a lot of bitterness towards him. Over time, I started to realize that I wasn't really doing life on my own. Even when I ignored him, Jesus was still working in the background, guiding me and preparing a way back to him. He was always on my mind, but I never gave him my time or made the effort to truly follow him. When my wife and I had our first child, everything started to shift. We decided she would stay at home, and I would take on extra work to support our family. Honestly, there were times I didn't even know how we were going to make it. But every month, somehow it worked out, sometimes right at the last moment, the last day of the month. I would always say, it'll work out, even when I wasn't sure how, but it always did. That's when I started to feel maybe Jesus was working in my life and he was there all along. This led me to have more conversations with my siblings and parents about Jesus and the gospel. I also started surrounding myself with godly friends, and slowly my heart began to change. When we found out our son had mild colic, it was a really tough season, but it also made me realize how much I needed Jesus' strength. I started praying, reading the Bible on my own, and attending the Bible study here at the church. We began coming regularly, not just to attend, but to grow in our relationship with Jesus and be part of an amazing, supportive community here at the church. I've come to see that my struggles brought me closer to Jesus, and for that I am grateful. I'm still growing, but I now know that I don't want to live life on my own anymore, and I want Jesus to lead me. So today, I'm here to be baptized, to publicly declare my faith, my belief that Jesus is the Son of God who died on the cross for me, that I may have eternal life with him. Thank you.
Approximately 7 years ago, Tom and I, we did not even know each other. I knew kind of who he was from mutual friends and contacts. We were both looking to get our foot into the aviation career, which is a little tough when you're junior. I sent him a message, just asked him, do you work for Canwest Air? Because I thought maybe if he did, I'd have a shoe-in at the company there. Turned out he didn't. Now, I often ask myself, something really pressured me. Why should I send him? I should send him that message. I could have sent the owner of the company that same thing, but I chose to ask Tom. Well, was it a coincidence or was it the Holy Spirit working in our lives? I'm going to go with the latter. Over time, we continued to get to know each other. I remember the first time I met him up in Fort McMurray. He was getting fuel at one of the fueling stations up there. He was at the vending machine getting a snack, and he stood up and was like, whoa, this not a little guy. I'll be nice to him. Well, we continued to get to know each other. We were united by wings, as many times people say in this industry. Oftentimes you'll see that on a meme or whatever when something bad happens, you know, where aviators' lives are taken, something happens, we're united by wings. In this case here, we're united in a different way. One of the things we were not united on, Tom made it very clear he was not really interested in Christianity or faith or anything like that. In fact, he had told one of our good friends, Dave Giesbrecht, sadly he can't be here with us today, but I remember Dave telling me once, you know, Tom told me he's never going to enter it. He'll never go into a church again. It's not for him. Well, that changed. Praise God. I was always wondering, how can I reach Tom? Well, a little while ago, one of our elders here at the church, Dr. Jan Ladigan, decided to have what's called evangelism explosion. My wife and I decided we'd attend. Just so happened that the way my flunky schedule worked, I had most of the Sundays off and I was able to be there. Well, was that coincidence or was it the Holy Spirit that asked our elder Jan to lead this and us to be able to be there? And basically, one of the big takeaways from what he explained to us was how to reach other people, to introduce them to faith, and even if it's not something for them, to continue to support them, that when they do make that decision that you're with, they're with them. And I'm happy to say that today, well, Tom asked if I would come up here and share a little with you all and pray a blessing over him. Fast forward, I'm grateful to be here with you all today. Let's have a word of prayer. God, we come before you this morning's hour, at this baptism service. I want to pray a blessing on Tom here as he's made this decision to follow you and to publicly make that known through water baptism. Just pray that as we continue to grow in our faith, in our love for you, that we'll continue to be there for each other, to strengthen each other, as we know it's not always going to be easy. We know your Spirit has a plan for all of us. Continue to work on us. The peace of God, the Father, and the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Thank you so much. All right. We have so many newcomers here to the Gospel Chapel, and it's been a joy to meet Tom and Lexi, and of course even Gerald and Rebecca, to be able to come and worship together. Another new couple that has only recently been coming is Bear and Diane, and they maybe are new to some of you, but my wife and I, we've known Diane since she was just a girl. And it's a joy that to have them come and share with us. So Diane came to me a week or so ago and asked about being baptized. So I'm going to have Diane come, and I think her brother Ray is going to come and stand with her too. And Mary? Oh, Mary. Okay, Mary and Ray. Yes, good.
Good morning. I'm excited but very nervous. I was born and raised in a Christian home and attended the local CRC regularly. I accepted Christ as my Savior at Pioneer Girls when I was about 10, when it was explained in our workbook. I then rededicated at Bethel Bible Camp at 17. So obviously there's ties to this church. Upon moving away from home, I stopped going to church for quite a few years, and though I didn't forget about God, I was definitely living for me and not for Him. I began going to another church when I got married, but didn't get too involved, and later transferred to yet another church, enjoying the fellowship but not feeling inspired or closer to God from the weekly messages. The past while, I have found myself searching for spiritual growth, so began attending the chapel. While spending more time with Mom the last years, we had many discussions. Well, actually, I did a lot of listening. She had a lot of wisdom and could talk a lot. When she passed in January, I felt a very distinct softening of my heart that has led me here today to profess my faith.
So, Diane, thank you so much for asking us to be your sponsors. It truly is an honor. Our relationship has changed over the years. At the beginning, I think there was a lot of avoidance. And it's so exciting to know that you've come closer and we are friends. So, too, your relationship with God has changed over the years. It's so exciting to see you renewing your relationship with Him. Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way she should go, and when she is old, she will not depart from it. Mom and Dad raised you in a godly home, in God's word and teaching. I know that today they are looking down from heaven and doing the happy dance. Your decision today has been an encouragement to me as well. Well done. May God's love fill your heart and strengthen you throughout your days.
Yes, Diane. Mary and I have counted it such a privilege to be part of your day today, and as you give an outward indication of what's happening inside, I just had a couple of verses that I'd like to share, and the first one really has encouraged me over the years, and hopefully it can encourage you too. It kind of goes back to like what was and now what is. So it's Titus 3:3-7. And that says, for we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And I just thought that was a fitting reminder for me, especially. I come back to it often, just as a reminder. And the last verse I'll share too is Romans 10:9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I'll just say a short prayer for you. Lord, I just thank you for Diane's decision to honor you in obedience to baptism as another step in her faith journey. Thank you for Bears and the rest of the family's encouragement. We just ask that you would continue to help us as Diane's family and church family to encourage her in her walk with you, Lord. Thank you for working in her life, and we look forward to what you will continue to do in the future. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much. And now another family who have come to us via several different locations in the world are the Abiolas. And we are so blessed to have them here amongst us. And Samuel and Temi and Samuel have both indicated they would choose to be baptized. Now, they're both very quiet young men. And maybe many of you haven't even had a conversation with them. But they definitely have been trained in the knowledge of the Lord. And we have experienced God's work in their life and their knowledge of the Lord in our Awana Club and Sunday School program here. And so it's a real joy for us to just stand with them in this time. So I'm going to ask Temi to come first with their dad, Moses. And then after that, we'll have Samuel come. So Temi, you and your dad come first. Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. Come ahead and share what you've written down there.
The first time I accepted the Lord as my Savior was when I used to live in Toronto when I was 11, when we started going to a church there. I don't remember the name, but my favorite Bible verse is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Well, I don't prepare for this, actually. So I'm so sorry that I don't bring anything along. Yeah. First of all, I just want to thank God over my son. And I believe that they are born in a Christian home. We usually teach them about the Christ every day. And they understand that Jesus is the Lord and the Savior. And they follow the way. And they be obedient. And I just want to thank God again about when we moved to Westlock. And when my children they join Awana class, they have been improved a lot about the Christianity journey. And I want to thank all the teachers in Awana for the wisdom and understanding, the way they are teaching them. They make them to understand more about the Christ, and I'm so happy for everything that they have been doing. God bless you all.
You want to pray? Let's pray. Pray for Sam.
Timmy, I pray in the name of Father, and the Son, Holy Ghost. I just want to bless you, and I want to let you to understand that this decision you make is something that is going to last forever. I pray that you are not going to depart from Jesus forever. And I pray for Jesus to lead your way forever in your life. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Stay here. Yeah, we'll let Sam come now. Now we're going to invite Samuel to come.
Bible verse is Romans chapter 6 verse 4, for we died and we were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ is raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we may live new lives. I've chosen this Bible verse since I'm getting baptized now. I began to really believe in God when we moved here when I was 11 back in 2024 because of all the things I've been taught and how kind everybody here is.
Thank you. Samuel is the kind of kid that is very quiet. He doesn't talk, he's kind of shy and everything. But when we are talking about Christ, he understands everything. I remember back in Otago when we are there, so when they do the Bible quiz, is he, I think you first or second? I think he got second. He read like 46 Bible off head, and was so great since then. Even at home, he's so quiet, but he always read in Bible, and I'm so proud of him so much. Even if he doesn't talk, he understands that Jesus is the only way. Yeah, and he understands that. He understands that the only the best way that he can live his life to be obedient in the society is just only to follow Jesus.
Yes.
Because that is only the best way. I usually told him that, you know, I'm a very strong man. I'm so also for you guys to be a good kid in society. I don't want you guys to follow any bad kid in society. Make sure you be obedient. And I thank God for them. They follow the right way that I told them, that Jesus is only the right way for you. I pray for you, Samuel, in the name of Father and Son and Holy Ghost. And I protect you with the blood of Jesus. So shall it be in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. We're celebrating here in God's grace and work. And I trust that even our clapping, it's not because we're trying to make a show of anything, but we're celebrating what God is doing, thanking the Lord for his mercy and grace. Okay, I'm going to invite the worship team to come and lead us in another song while all of us are going to do the baptizing. We're going to slip out the side here and get ready. And so let's continue to do that.
Well, I'll ask you to stand, and as we sing together, I'm just so grateful for these four people that have stepped forward for baptism, and their sponsors or their mentors who are standing with them. And it is a real celebration. And we'll just sing a song together. I give my heart, give you my heart. We'll sing this song together. And then by then, I think we'll be ready to go ahead with the baptism.
My desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. All I have.
Father, we are so grateful again for this day that we're celebrating together with these four individuals, but not just with them. Because as we've been reminded, Father, coming to a baptism speaks to all of us of the time when we were baptized, or perhaps it's confirming something we're thinking about. And so I pray that we would be listening to your Spirit as we watch this baptism take place. And as we heard these testimonies and heard the words that Ken has shared with us, may we be challenged to continue to honor you with our lives. And may these individuals know your strength as they step out into this kind of new way, in a sort of a public way, which is what baptism is, with people knowing that you are making a difference in their lives. May they be encouraged. And may we walk with them and continue to encourage them and to pray with them and pray for them. So I thank you for each one who's here. And now, Father, we pray that you will be glorified as these four individuals go into the waters of baptism and rise to life in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated.